Hi guys. So unfortunately with the first recording with my mother, we got cut off by a phone call for some reason on Anchor. It just doesn't let you pause, or it didn't let me pause. It just cut the recording off completely. So I went ahead and released the first part of the episode. This will just be part two. And where we left off with part one was where my mom actually was still living with my father after they had finalized their divorce. They lived together for 2 months after that before she was able to move in fully to her other house that he was helping her with. So we're leaving off talking about how mom was still with my dad. They were separated but still living together just for the sake of both of our well-beings. So go ahead, Mom.
So it was difficult because we were divorced, and so we were both free to do whatever, you know, we chose to do, and he was seeing someone at the time, and it was very difficult because we were both in the same house. I was in the guest room, and you know, he would go out on dates and stuff like that, and it was really hard. And but he did stick by his word, and he helped me move back just a little bit. And he stuck by his word, and he helped me redo the whole house. I mean, we had to tear up the carpet, and we ended up I just wanted to change the windowsills out because they were old, crappy, like tile kind of windowsills. And I started chipping them away, and then it turned out that you couldn't just do that. You had to replace all the windows, and then I had to replace the floors. And the guy who did the floors actually robbed me. And I mean, it was a shit show, a major shit show. But my sisters came down from New Jersey one time. Oh wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. So my sisters came down because of my epiphany. So anyway, so I was sitting on my back patio, and Heather was, there was no air conditioning in the house at the time. And Heather was in the room on her, I had a mattress on the floor for her, and she was in the room with the mattress on the floor, and I had folding chairs and these crappy old tables, and it just, there was tools everywhere, and there was dust and debris and drywall and just everything everywhere. There was nothing finished. No appliances were in there, and I was taking a break, and I was sitting on the back patio, and I just started thinking, and I was at the end of my rope. I mean, I looked around, and I just felt like I didn't see a light at the end of the tunnel. I really didn't. And I sat on that back patio, and I just started crying, and I was in a bad place. I had a lot of bad thoughts, and
it's okay if it gets emotional.
I love you too. In the middle of that, my sister called me, and I don't know why, because I mean, we talked a lot, but she just happened to call me in the middle of that, and I didn't answer the phone. And she called me again, and I didn't answer the phone. And then she called me again, and finally I just answered the phone, and I said, "Right now is not a good time. I have to go." And she goes, "But I have to tell you something." And I said, "What?" And she said, "I just want to tell you that I love you." And
which sister was this?
Diane. And she goes, "I know it's really, really hard. And I know you're going through a hard time. And it sounds to me like you always answer your phone. And I know that it's been really difficult for you. But I just want to tell you that Paul and I want to make get an airline ticket and come down there sometime next week. And when would be good for you?" And I was just, I felt so blessed. And I
whatever you believe in, God or the universe, I know you believe in God, I believe in the universe. For her to call you in the exact moment of you going through that and like tell you that she wants to come down and see you and that she loves you, and you know what I mean? That is just like for me, it's the universe or God. It's them saying like, "Hey, like, I know shit is so freaking rough right now, but just hold on a second. Let me show you something real quick. Come with me. Take my hand. Let me show you."
She came down, Heather. She came down, And it wasn't the next week. They were at my house the next night. Her and her husband. And I don't think they were married yet. But it was her. Wait. Yes, they were married. Yes, they were married because this was 2002. It was her and her husband and Dale, Aunt Dale. And I don't remember if Darlene came that time. I think Darlene might have come that time. I don't remember. But they came down for like 4 days. And his friend, Tom, came also to help. And just knocked the shit out of that place. I mean, we got so much done. It was livable. By the end of the weekend, it was livable. And we have so many really funny memories of things that happened while they were there. And
so I want to go back to when you were sitting on the porch before she called. What, like, you had that experience, and it was just like, it was, you felt like you hit rock bottom. I want to talk about how this ties in.
Well, she called, and after she called, I, like I said, I felt so blessed, and I sat there, and I said to myself, I have never been happy. I didn't have a good childhood. I wasn't happy in school. I got picked on all the time in school. I hated school. And then I've just never really been happy. I've always been upset. I've always been, you know, things always hurt me, and I've always been depressed, and I just wasn't happy. And my sister called, and I had this epiphany, and I just thought to myself, I don't want to wake up tomorrow unhappy. I don't want to wake up the next day unhappy. I don't want to wake up and look back on my life in 5 years and this next 5 years be unhappy. I'm a mother. I have a daughter, and she's beautiful. And it's up to me to give her a beautiful life. And it's up to me to make whatever this is. We're divorced now. Her dad and I, your dad and I, we're divorced. There's nothing that's going to change that now. Now it's up to me to make that not define me. I don't want that to define me, because if it defines me, then it's going to define you. And I didn't want that. So I just started thinking about, what can I do? And I decided I have to start right now. I have to start not being depressed and not being unhappy right now, and work on it every single day and make every single day happy, so that in 5 years I can look back and say, yeah, you know what? The first 38 years of my life was pretty much shit. But after that, the next 5 years, I can look back and say, I really like the next 5 years. I really, really like the next 5 years, and work on it every single day. And I'm going to tell you, it hasn't been every single day, but I haven't gone through years and big time periods where I've been unhappy, where I look back and I just think my life is shit. Most of my life since I was 38, most of my life since that time has not, there's been ups and downs and goods and bads and everything, but I've never again felt like my life wasn't worth living, and I don't look back on my life and think that I've had a pretty shitty life. But up until I was 38, I felt like I had a pretty shitty life. I wasn't happy ever.
How did you get over Dad? How'd you move on from him?
I did a lot of like soul searching and looking at our relationship and realizing that in order for me to be happy and to make those things, bring those things into fruition, is I have to learn to forgive him, and I have to really look at it and look at things from his perspective. And things like, just as an example, and if Phil, if you are listening to this, it's not a slight, but he is not a person for holidays. He's not a person for Christmas, and he's different now.
Yeah, he's.
But his grandparents never did Christmas. His grandmother hated Christmas, and his grandfather always got the tree, and his grandfather always decorated the tree, and his grandfather always did all of that. And, you know, with the gifts, your dad was just never, he was just never that kind of person. And I look at it and I used to be resentful because growing up, my father hated Christmas. He hated Christmas and he made it miserable every single Christmas. It was like, you know, and my mother would say, yep, there we go, another freaking Christmas, because my father would be so miserable at Christmas time. And I felt the same thing here. And I think I even remember myself saying it, here we go, another freaking Christmas. And it was just like an echo of my parents. And I took each and everything that really bothered me about our marriage, and I delved into it and I looked at it closer. And I looked at it from an outside point of view as opposed to looking at it from a hurt standpoint. Christmas. Your dad didn't like Christmas. Your dad wasn't brought up with Christmas. Your dad, Christmas was not part of his life. Whereas with me, I have 8 brothers and sisters. Christmas was so exciting, and it was the only time of the year that we really ever got anything, because it was so many of us that we really didn't get a lot of things during the year. And at Christmas time, we always got that one special gift that you could choose, one thing that you could get. And so Christmas was like super, super, even though my father made it miserable for my mom, it was still really special for me at least. And so I didn't want it to be another through my life, you know, just a carry on of my parents. And so I was very resentful for that. So I looked at that and I thought, you know what though? He's looking at it like, why do we have to celebrate Christmas? We can buy each other gifts all year round. Why do we have to make it one special day? And it's so stressful. Everybody's got to get Christmas gifts for Christmas, and everybody's in a bad mood at Christmas because you're trying to get Christmas presents and it's a money situation and you're putting yourself in debt and all this stuff. And that was his way of looking at it. And I looked at it and I thought, okay, so he wasn't doing this against me. He wasn't saying that he didn't want to have Christmas because he wanted me to be unhappy, because I don't think your dad would ever want, not just me, but anyone to be unhappy, because that's not really in his nature. Yeah. But when we were married, I was looking at it like he was doing these things intentionally to make me unhappy. And
when you view things like this, it's not for you to sit here and say, oh, damn, I should have looked at it differently when I was with him. It's to forgive, because there is much more than just the tree. There's other things, and that goes for anybody who's in a relationship right now. When you work on forgiveness, you work on looking at things from a different view, but that doesn't mean that still the relationship wasn't right. Like, it's still...
It doesn't mean you're still meant for each
other. Yeah, it doesn't mean that you made the wrong decision. You probably made the right decision, especially if your gut was screaming at you the entire time, hey, this isn't right, hey, this isn't right.
But it doesn't mean that the things that were going on in the relationship were slights purposely against you either.
Exactly. So, yes, they're problematic, especially if that's how the person's going to be and you just on two separate different paths. But it doesn't mean that they were out to get you and it was like a jab at you, like, I don't like Christmas, so you're not going to have a good Christmas. Not at all. So when you forgive someone, you have to start looking at things from a different point of view. And I just actually read a post on Facebook, I believe it was either today or yesterday, where it's like, you know, you have to sit, I don't know what it is word for word, but you have to think, you have to know that you are at fault as well. Like, you can look at somebody else's faults and point fingers all day long because it's so easy, right? But the true inner work and the true way to actually, like, really, I think it ties in hand with forgiveness, is actually to look within yourself and say, all right, what did I do? Like, how did I look at it? How did I perceive it? And how could they perceive it? And
what
how
do I own in this?
Yeah. What was my fault? You know what I mean? Like, what did I do? You know? And with forgiveness, when you do that and you look at that and you shed light on yourself instead of you and pointing fingers, you did this to me and you did this for, like, just really going off and really hating the person and resenting the person, you're never truly going to feel happy. You're never truly going to be moved on, because you're going to constantly just sit there and point fingers at somebody else when you have to understand. You have to look at it from a different perspective. And you have to say, you know what? He did this. but it wasn't necessarily to hurt me. Not a lot. I mean, there are people. There are people. But a lot of time, people don't mean to hurt someone. They just do. And it can be from any type of situation, upbringing, like with the Christmas thing, with the, you know, they had a different upbringing and stuff like that, and it made them look at things differently. But so you had to start forgiving him.
I had to start really looking at the relationship and looking at the things that I was angry about, which meant that I was hurt by, and really look at it and number one, take my responsibility of it into account. But also I had to look at it and realize that we are just different. And instead of being hurt by it and being slighted by it, I had to accept it and understand that it's everybody has their own reality. And your reality is made up of all of the experiences that you've had in your life and how you and part of that is how you responded to them. And so the experiences that I had in my life, let's just say like Christmas time, was one thing. So it made Christmas to me a very important, it had to be celebrated, and it had to be, I never really got much for Christmas. I mean, I got my one special gift, but I never really got much for Christmas. So Heather, I mean, if you remember back to every single Christmas.
Huge Christmases.
We have a single child. Our Christmas tree was loaded halfway up the tree with gifts, and I would wrap everything. I would wrap every single battery separately so that she could open every single battery. And I mean, it would take her 2 days to finish Christmas. She fell asleep in the middle of opening up her gifts, and she would get cranky and exhausted because I was pushing, and this is what I have to.
But that's what she wanted to make it special. Yeah.
I wanted to make it special, but in trying to make it so special, it was like sensory overload for her and for her dad.
Yeah.
But it was what I was trying to like overcompensate for what I was missing in my childhood by loading up on every, and I still do that Christmas. I still do that. I have to learn not to do that.
No, you've actually done much better with that. But I want to jump into, I want you to name, what are two red flags? I want to talk about two red flags, and then I want to talk about some quotes in the book. What are two red flags that you don't find are necessarily common? Like, I'm not talking about like red flags like, oh, he cheats, red flag, or oh, he talks about you behind your back, that's a red flag. What are some red flags that aren't necessarily common where people can really decipher if they're a red flag or not?
In my experiences?
Yes, two of them.
One of them is going to be, watch out for people that try to separate you from your life, your friends, your family, your likes and dislikes, and because, and this has happened to me in two different relationships. And what happens is, and it did not happen to me in my relationship with your dad, because your dad and I, like I said, we kind of built our thing together, and your dad became a big part of our family.
Yeah,
and that's another thing I want to say. That's another thing I do want to say, just real quick, getting back to that, is the forgiveness with your dad allowed me. One of the things your dad said when we were deciding to divorce
split.
Was that he was upset because he said, not only am I losing you and Heather, but I'm losing a family, because he didn't really have a family. He wasn't very close with his brother at the time, and he had his grandparents, and that was it. He didn't really have any family ties. And so our family is huge, and he was a big part of our family, and our family loved him. A lot of our family didn't think that we were a good match, but it didn't mean that they didn't like him.
Yeah.
And so at that time I told him, and I was still hurt and I was still angry at him at the time. Like, I was still feeling all those things. But I told him, I said, I'll never take you away from your family. This is your family too. And when we have gatherings or somebody comes down or whatever, we do the barbecues, I'll always invite you. And I always have, every single time, have invited him and whoever he wants to bring, or if he just wants to come by himself, I've always included him in part of the family because that's part of the forgiveness.
I'm going to pee again.
That's part of the forgiveness is allowing him to continue to be part of our family. And it made it easier because he was around so much in your life to then still be part of my life. And it made the transition a lot easier, I think. But as far as the red flags, the division of you from your family, sometimes people will try and do that to you, and they will try and get you to be, you know, not so like you and I are really close.
Yeah.
If someone were to like try and come between you and I and say you shouldn't be so close with your mom and you shouldn't do so many things with your mom and that sort of thing, and try and divide you, or divide you from your dad, or divide you from your friends by saying they don't like your friends or whatever, because that's taking away who you are in your life. And then when the relationship falls apart,
you have nobody.
You have no network. You have nobody. You've left them all behind, and then you have to go through and try and fix those relationships. And you may be able to fix those relationships, but there's always going to be, especially on the other person's end, that's been severed, that you've severed from your life. On their end, that's a very hard thing for them to get over. And you'll never really be able to bring that friend back as close as you once were.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I can say about you, Heather, is like your close friends that I won't name anybody, but you have certain close friends that you have kept regardless of any relationships you've had.
Oh, through my whole thing, if they don't like my friends. And I'm not to say that if they don't like my friends, they can't keep me away from my friends. They can dislike my friends all they want, but I'm still, that's the one thing is I've seen everybody regardless of what anybody.
But that's a red flag, is anybody that's trying to separate you. And a lot of like abusers do that. They separate you from the people who love you, and you find yourself not being like, when they start abusing you or not treating you properly, you start not being forthright in telling people about it. You start hiding things that are happening. You're not telling your friends about things that are going on, and that's a big red flag. If you find yourself not being able to be honest about what's going on in your relationship,
yeah,
to someone else that you care about that's been there beforehand, yeah, or even during,
yeah,
you know. So that's one red flag.
And the second red flag, what would that be?
I've been thinking. You told me to think about red flags today, and I was trying to think about red flags. This is going to seem maybe to some people, maybe not so important, but people that don't like animals.
It's true.
Is that not true?
It's true.
When there's people that literally don't like animals,
ditch them, get rid of them.
With those people, especially, and it might not be because they can live their whole life with another person that doesn't particularly care for animals, and they can be good people and. But if you're an animal person, and you and I are both very big animal advocates,
yeah.
If you're an animal person, you can't be with somebody that's not an animal person.
You can't. You really can't. Oh, yeah, you really can't. There's no getting out of that. So now that we've talked about forgiveness, red flags, and your experiences, you want to pull out that handy-dandy You Could Be Happy No Matter What book?
Yes, and I highlighted a couple things.
So this, just to catch everybody up to speed, this is the book and part one of the first podcast with my mom. We had talked about in the beginning she was going to bring this book out. This is her absolute favorite book, and she's had it for how long? 13 years?
Pretty 18,
sure. 18 years, and she has some things, highlights that she wanted to share. So, Mom, go ahead and share with us a couple quotes, and then we'll wrap this thing up, because I know this has been a while on this podcast. I'm happy about it, though. It's two very, very insightful podcast episodes. I couldn't have asked for it to go any differently, even with the phone call interrupting the whole podcast. But, all right, Mom, go ahead.
The book is really, it's called You Can Be Happy No Matter What by Richard Carlson. I think I mentioned that already in part one.
You can get it on Amazon.
You can get it on Amazon. It's based on Dr. Wayne Dyer, and it's basically your thinking, and your thinking is you can be happy in just readjusting your thinking. And there's a couple different quotes in here that I highlighted today that I think are kind of important. And one of them is, it says, "We can't give what we don't have. If we're not happy, we can't contribute to the happiness of others." And that is so true. If you're a miserable person, or if you're unhappy about something, most likely when you're with friends or when you're talking about things, you're going to be a negative kind of person, and you're not going to be able to contribute to their happiness.
So it's kind of like, if your glass isn't full enough for you to be good, how are you going to pour into somebody else's?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Another one is, life is not your enemy, but your thinking can be your enemy.
So your mind is like your biggest enemy.
Your mind is your biggest enemy. Yes, exactly. And it tells you how there's different principles of thinking. There's actually 5 different principles of thinking, and I have them highlighted here. There's 5 different principles of... the 5 principles of psychological functioning. And it's thinking, moods, separate psychological realities, feelings, and living in the present moment. And this book delves into each one of these things, and really, it cuts me to the core as far as understanding how you can be about thinking, and how it can change your life with different perspectives. Let me see.
Oh, what's that one?
This one is, it says, "When we feel better, we have more access to our own wisdom and common sense. We tend to be less reactive, defensive, and critical, and we make better decisions, and we communicate more effectively." So when we're thinking in a softer light, and we're thinking in a more positive light, like, remember I was telling you last night, and it was before I started reading this book today too, but I was telling you last night, when you go to bed and think about, if you're starting to feel depressed and you're starting to get into your feels about a prior situation or whatever that you're trying to get over, if you go to bed and before you go to bed, you think about the next day. This is what I'm going to do the next day. And this is this is what I do. This is the customer that I have. And I just love all my customers. But I just really love this customer. And I start thinking about the reasons why I love this customer and how fortunate I feel. And I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to drive there. And, you know, if I happen to be going to St. Pete, I'm going to go over the Skyway. And I hope that there's going to be a really, really pretty sunrise because I absolutely love that. And, you know, and I'm going to do these things. And I start thinking about the next day, and I start thinking about it in a very positive way.
Gives you something to look forward to.
It does. Because then when you wake up in the morning, and you're ready to go, and you're ready to embrace the day and all the things that you thought about the night before. But if you look at the next day and you think, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, I've got to get up in the morning, and I've got 3 customers to do tomorrow, and oh my God, I hope she doesn't make me do anything extra because I just don't have time for that. And you start thinking on those things. When you get up in the morning, you're going to get up and you're going to be tired, and you're going to be forecasting what you think the day is going to be. And as humans, the way we think, what you think about as each person, like what I think about, I think my thinking is correct. And so I go about my day, and
we all have different illusions of life.
Yeah, and you think, okay, if I think, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. We have a pool. My husband thinks that 94 degrees is too warm for the pool. I think that 94 degrees is perfect for the pool.
Because I side with Magoo.
Because I like to go out at nighttime and get in the pool, and I have zero gravity so my body can float. And I get in the pool, and I get the pool all the way up to my ears, the water all the way up to my ears, and it's like a blanket covering me up to my ears. And I can just float out there and not think about the temperature of the water. Whereas he likes to go out there, and he's working in the yard or whatever, and he jumps in the pool, and he likes to be refreshed. So he has his point of view, and I have my point of view. So my point of view is my reality, and so I look for things to prove myself right. I might not say it to him, but in my mind, I'm looking for things to prove myself right. So if you go to bed thinking at night that these, you know, I'm going to go tomorrow, and, you know, I can't wait. I'm going to get my car washed, and it's going to look so nice. I love it when my car is washed, and I love to vacuum it all out, and it looks all nice and neat. And you go with that point of view, then you're going to look for things that's going to continue to see that happy point of view. But if you go to bed thinking, I got to go wash my car tomorrow, it's filthy, I can't stand it when it's filthy, and all those crumbs that are down in it, and it's so disgusting, and it's going to be so hot to do that, then you're going to get up in the morning, and you're going to feel exhausted before you even get started.
Yeah, so you always gotta go to bed with happy thoughts and things to look forward to.
Exactly.
It'll make your next day a hell of a lot easier and much more pleasing, you know.
And it'll get your mind off of the crap that is in your rear view mirror. And I sent you that.
Yeah.
Your rear view mirror is very small for a reason, because all the stuff in your rear view mirror you don't need to pay that much attention to. But your windshield is huge, because your windshield is where you're going, and you need to. You want a big, huge windshield so that you can see where you're going.
Because where you're going is important.
Exactly. And where you've been, you can't change. So leave it alone.
There's nothing you can do about it. And even your future. Sometimes, yes, you have to plan for your future. There's got to be a healthy balance between the present moment and the future moment. But you can't dictate the future. You can't control what happens in the future. Nobody knows what happens in the future. So you have to really let yourself live in the present to build your future.
So many people are so intent on living in the past or living in the future that they don't live in the present. And that's what I've been really, really working hard on doing, is living in the present.
And that's, I find that I quantum leap a lot. So quantum leaping is basically, somebody's got something in their throat. Quantum leaping is basically like, where you're living, and then all of a sudden you ever, like, I believe this is what it is, because this is what I've lived by, it is, you ever, you're driving and then you get so caught up in thought, and then all of a sudden you're already at your destination, and it took 45 minutes to get to your destination,
and you don't even remember making the turns or anything.
You don't even remember going over the Skyway Bridge, and you're like, how did I get here? You just, like, quantum leap to the future. And quantum leaping is really good when you, I'm pretty sure that's what quantum leaping is. If quantum leaping is not that, and I know quantum leaping is talked about.
We're going to call it that anyway, because I like it.
Yeah, quantum leaping is used really heavily with manifestation, and quantum leaping can be really good if I'm speaking about it correctly. Now I feel like I'm not. But
that's okay. We'll own it anyway.
we can even just call it leaping. I feel like I leap forward so often, where it can be good if you want your day to be over with really fast, but like if you're just doing that and doing that and doing that, like, you're never, I remember,
next thing you know, it's Friday again.
Oh my gosh, I remember I got such in the same routine when I was with my past partner that I would be sitting there, and like, I mean, weeks were just flying by, because I just going, and then I just realized, man, and I started waking up earlier too. That really helped me. I started waking up earlier. I started washing my face. I know that sounds crazy, but I woke up early, started washing my face, like did the whole routine with my skin, and then walked bare, made breakfast, and then would leave for work. And then it was like, I felt like my days were longer because I had this whole routine, and it wasn't like I was in a routine of like, oh my God, here we go again, again,
you
again.
You want to hear the ultimate quantum leap?
Yes.
I'm 56. That's a quantum leap. Think about that.
I know. Fast. It's crazy. Time goes by so fast. And I feel
like,
and
as you get older, it goes by faster.
And I feel like
faster.
We're using quantum leap. I really don't think quantum leap is what it
I'm going to Google it.
Oh, yeah. You Google it right now. But yeah, while you're Googling that, yeah, it's just, it's insane. Things go by so fast. And you don't want it to go by that fast, though. I know, you're like, damn, I want to just get through this day.
You know,
there is a
show called Quantum Leap.
Is there?
Yeah, and it's about leaping.
Leaping into time?
Leaping into time. It's like an older time travel.
It's like a sci-fi thing. Wait, go up?
It's a show.
But what does it say? Look up Quantum Leap definition.
Meaning.
A huge, often sudden increase or advance in something. There has been a quantum leap in the quality of So, like, it's usually...
But that's a quantum leap when you're coming over the skyway and all of a sudden
time,
you're home.
With time. Yeah. So it's like a different kind of leap. I know quantum is like massive, like huge. I mean, so like massive, depending on how you out, 50, you
I'm
look.
56.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we're right. So, Mom, I want to leave this podcast off with a helpful insight. Like, what if you could say anything to my listeners? Anybody listening? It's so weird to say my listeners. If you could leave anything off with my listeners today, what is just one, and I'm not even talking about from the book, I'm talking about from yourself, what is one thing, one piece of advice you would give to somebody listening about anything in life? It could be about what's going on right now, like what we're talking about with forgiveness, red flags, the book, or quantum leaping, or it could be about just any piece of advice.
I'll give you a piece of advice of something that I'm working on. I'm not good at it yet, but I'm working on it right now. Is I'm trying to every day look at my life and decide if today I was happy. If you do it day by day, rather than, you know, look at yourself in a week from now and say, well, how did my week go? I'm trying to do it day by day, and I'm trying to do the little things like in my relationship with Magoo. I give him little texts during the day. I give him, you know, I'm trying to put, when he comes in the door, I put down my phone now and how was your day? And try and engage in him and make each
day special and memorable and happy. Well,
it'll never be memorable. I won't remember yesterday. You know what gets me? The Facebook things. When it says, I have a memory from last year. I look at it and I read it and I say, oh my God, that is so good. I've never heard that before. and I posted it last year, so I know I've heard it. So
yep, sometimes it'd be
so
like
it's that. not gonna be memorable. My memory just sucks, but I do try and make it so that each day I try and make it so even if I'm unhappy, I try and make it so I'm not unhappy the whole day. I try and make it so that I get something accomplished positive every day.
I think
that's important.
I love it.
Hey, Heather.
Yeah.
What did I just say? Did you hear what I said?
Yes, I did.
I said, that's a good way to end it, isn't it? I think that's important. I think you should end
that
every one of
important.
These podcasts. Every one of these podcasts should end that way. When you're talking to someone at the end,
that is important.
They should say what you want, you know, what you should ask them.
Can I tell you, when you looked at me, you were like, what did I say? I thought you were telling me to re-quote everything you just said. I'm like, don't put me on the
spot.
Think
so. No, but that's how you should do your podcast. I think that's...
I don't know what that was.
I think that's how you should end each one of your little interview things is what a thought for the day.
Yeah.
And then have them say, and I think that's important. I think that's how you should end
it's like
podcast.
It's like a weather show. It's like, and back to you, Jack.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Mom, thanks so much for coming on and sharing some insightful things. And this has been such a blast. This is like a really, I'm so glad you're my first guest. So
I'm glad you asked me, Heather.
Yeah, it was great. So thank you so much, guys, for coming in for another episode of This Is Important. And stay tuned because I will be making another episode next week and hopefully every single week. So, all right, guys, thanks.